Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. Jesus, knowing that his Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wiping them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter and said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. These are our texts. My dear friends in Christ, I was kind of surprised as I was doing research for the sermon today that since 1971, man has been placing probes upon the surface of Mars. In fact, these robots rove the surface of the lunar planet, and they take photographs of the landscape. They sample the soil and they cut into rocks, but they're looking really for one thing. And that one thing they look for is water. If there's water, there's a possibility of life. If there's no water, there's no hope at all. That's just how it works. Today, as we make our Lenten journey, we are on day 5 of creation, where God declares, let the waters abound with the abundance of living creatures, and let the birds above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. Now, Martin Luther described this, the translation from Hebrew, as God speaks a mere word, and immediately birds are brought forth from the water. One moment it's calm and placid, and then God speaks his word, and then from that water comes life, and birds fill the skies, and fish of every kind fill the waters. Now, if you notice that day 5 of creation, life springs forth from water as God adds his word, but compared to the preceding 4 days, today is kind of short and really to the point. What you get is fish, and you get birds, and you get God's word. But later on, Jesus would use in his parable stories about fish and birds to teach about the kingdom of God. He once taught that it's kind of, he described the kingdom as a mustard seed, and planted in a soil, this smallest of seeds grows into a sturdy bush that the birds will come and nest in. The story behind it, the meaning behind it, was the fact that God gathers all these people into the mustard plant, which is the kingdom of God, but it all starts by the seed, and that seed is his word, that through which God creates faith. Later, Jesus would talk about a dragnet, where the fishermen pull the net through the water and they catch the fish, and through that they catch good fish and they keep them. And in fact, you remember that when Jesus calls his disciples, Peter, James, and John, to be his disciples, he tells them, first he gives them a miraculous catch of fish. Remember, he says, put your nets on the other side of the boat. And then he performs the miracle by simply speaking a word. And then he calls those men to be disciples and to become fishers of men. Birds and fish. Jesus performs a miracle and makes disciples by literally speaking his word. Remember, just prior to his ascension, Jesus' last words to his disciples are, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing," notice water, "in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." How does the Lord give life to his people and make them his own? How does God give life to people and make them his own? He does it through water and word. Now, if you flip over to the fifth day of Holy Week, you find Jesus with his disciples in the upper room celebrating the Passover meal. And this is literally hours before Christ's arrest and literally hours before he would be placed upon the cross and crucified. And notice where Jesus is having his last supper. You know, even in the United States, and prisoners are often granted who are sentenced to be executed are given their choice of their last meal as a sign of respect, and it's their last meal. But what does our Lord do on the night on which he was betrayed as he celebrated the Lord's Supper with his disciples? After eating with them, he removed his outer garment, puts a towel around his waist, and begins to wash his disciples' feet. Now, it's not a practice in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, but when I was growing up, it was certainly a practice in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. The men would go to the basement, the women would sit on the main floor, and we would wash each other's feet. And I always thought it was a little bit weird because people's feet stink. And our job was to wash each other's feet. And it's not a glamorous job that Jesus had as he went from disciple to disciple washing their feet. It's a lowly job. In fact, it would be given to servants, and those servants would be, the lowest servants would be stuck with that task. So for you and I to understand why Jesus is washing feet, the scripture tells us that the Son of Man has come not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. See, even in the hours before his betrayal, the sinless Son of God is at work as a servant to his own disciples, washing their feet. But you heard how Peter responded. Peter looked at it as a task that was not befitting for Jesus. And so when Jesus approaches Peter, Peter said, "You shall wash my feet?" And Jesus' response was, if I wash you, you have no part in me. See, this is no ordinary foot washing. The Lord desires to make Peter clean. So Peter reverses and says, "Lord, but not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." In other words, "Jesus, make me totally, utterly clean." And Jesus responds to him, "Who has bathed only needs to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." Notice that what Peter is not clean unless Jesus makes him clean. Both in the creation account and in the Holy Week, day 5 points to the truth that God gives us life through water and through word. Real life to really big fish and to real live birds, real life to individuals like Peter, James, and John, and for each of you, by water and word, he has made you his disciples. So on the occasion of Lent, it's time for you and I to stop for a moment and remember our baptism and remember the great work that God has done through water and word in our lives. See, the problem with baptism for most of us, it's happened a long time ago. The water is already dried. The fact of the matter is the pictures have been taken. They're in the photo album. In fact, for many of you, they're in black and white. Pastor, and mine too, it's on my wall in the office, so I'm not picking on anybody. But the reality is, we live in a society that says, "What have you done for me lately?" See, we tend to regard holy baptism as something that has happened to us a long time ago with really no ongoing effect. But that tonight, we pause, if even for a moment, to remember what the Lord does through ordinary, everyday water and his word. He makes you and me clean. If you read in the book of Titus, it says this. First, it begins with the law. And this is very convicting. See, we were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. In other words, we were hardly clean before God. And then comes the gospel. And this is beautiful. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. How? Through the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. What is He talking about? He's talking about yours and my baptism. He continues, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, and having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. See, in baptism, you were once covered with the filth of sin, have now been washed clean. You who were once dead in your trespasses and sin have now been risen to life. You who were needed renewed and regenerated, once unclean and lost in sin, are now ushered into the family of God. You are a new creation. And God has given you life. My dear friends in Christ, never forget your baptism. Now, on the other hand, your old Adam that dwells within inside you is a little reluctant to embrace the waters of baptism. Why? Because through them we seek to drown his sorry soul. See, the reality is, to be aware of our old sinful nature, it's hard to work as we neglect the truth of our baptism. For once you do it, He will strike again and attempt to destroy your faith. But then again, there comes the question, am I the Lord's? Better yet, do I belong to Him? Or even better yet, does God really love me? Aren't those questions that occasionally we wrestle with, even within the Church of Christ? Am I the Lord's? Do I belong to Him? Does God really love me? These are questions that arise in our mind, particularly during the times when we're filled with troubles or afflictions or hardships are sitting upon us. We begin to wonder, is God punishing me? Does He really love me? There are times in your life where God will feel a long way away, and how can I be sure that He is still near? As He said, I never leave you nor forsake you. How can I be sure? But you see, at such a time, you don't want to rely upon your own commitment. In other words, your faith is not based upon the works of your own hands. It's based upon God's grace. Your faith is not based upon your feelings, whether high or low. It's based upon the promises of God. No one troubled with such questions, look back at your baptism. For it is in the water of baptism that you may know that God loves you. Because in that water and word, He has made you His son or His daughter. Because on that certain day, in a certain place, in a font that looks a lot like the one out in our narthex area, He used water and a certain word, and the words of a pastor to say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and on that day you were a new creation. My dear friends in Christ, never worry, never fret, but simply trust His promises. At times your conscience may trouble you as well. I know that God made me in His baptism, but I also know that I've sinned against Him since, because, Pastor, I don't lip sync when I say, I, a poor, miserable sinner. The Lord set me free from the malice and the lust and the disobedience and the contempt and the lack of love for Him and for others. Yet I still find myself falling back into them again and again and again. I have surely disappointed the one who made me His, given me, forgiven all my sins. Surely He could lose love for me. Well, the answer is no. Because in the water of baptism, as He created life for birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, by His word He has done the same for you and for me. You know, recently we've had a slew of members who have been sick. Many of their illnesses are quite life-threatening. And I think at times like that, Satan would want nothing more than for you and I to fall away from faith. Even the most godly of Christians, at times in that weak moment, Satan comes and attempts to thwart your faith in Christ. My dear friends in Christ, I want nothing more for you than to continue to go back to your baptism, to be reminded of who you are, that through water and word, God has made you His son or daughter, recreated you, and ushered you into His kingdom. And as we observe this fifth day of creation and this fifth day of Holy Week, we see exactly who Jesus is and what He has done for us. I can therefore say with confidence that your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord.